Everything okay over there?
Okay. Fine. The my retraction from that Sif and Shechinar won't be on the official record. Okay. The other thing that we mentioned yesterday, which is going to be important again, because we want to try to figure out T today, if we can, is about Eroi, which is the in between case. We had three opinions in Tosfos. What's the din of pouring from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni? Either it is Mevashel, it's not Mevashel, or Rabbeinu Tam was the in-between opinion, which is the one that we said we passed like that, it's Mevashel Kadei Klipa, it's Mevashel, but only a little bit. Again, in terms of the Lomdus, so we said maybe that boils down, no pun intended, that comes down to what the pshat and the definition of Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni is the definition of the Kli Rishon that it needs the defanos that are hot, and kozma, and once it's poured out, it doesn't have those hot defanos, so mamela, it can't be mevasha anymore. Well, the alternative is that no, it's that the pshat and the Kli Sheni is that it needs walls that are cooling it off, so that until it gets into the Kli Sheni and it has those defanos that are makaros, it still has this, maintains its original status of being a Kli Rishon. Okay, so that's going to be significant. Again, one of the cases which we said Irei does help would be what the Shemir Shabbos says about the baby bottle, that the baby bottle pouring the water from the urn onto the baby bottle even before it hits the Kli Sheni would be, the baby bottle would be the Kadei Klipa. That would be the outer layer, and you would be allowed to do that. Rabbi Willig suggested maybe being Machmir and only putting it directly into the Kli Sheni, not doing it with Yuri. Okay. So the Mishnah says in Shabbos, again we had that Mishnah earlier about right, Kol Shalom Ba Bechamin Meir B'Shabbos, is we had it as Medichin Oso Bechamin B'Shabbos, so you can pour it and heat up on Shabbos. Chutz Me'amaliach Hayashan. So exactly what they are. There are two types of salty fish, and these types of salty fish are too easily cooked that even if you pour on top of them from the Kli Sheni, it's going to still be, or you put them into the Kli Sheni, my exact machlokas, exactly what it's talking about. But it's still going, the Kli Sheni still has the power to be mevashel. So even if you put it, that's a simple case, say you put it into the Kli Sheni, the Kli Sheni is still going to be mevashel it. Okay, so that shouldn't, in theory, cause too much trouble for us, except for the fact that there is a Yireyim. The Yireyim says that we don't know what really is Kali Abishal and what is not Kali Abishal. So since we're not sure what is Kali Habishal and what is not Kali Habishal, therefore the Rambam says, it's brought down in the Beis Yosef, that we have to assume that everything is Kali Habishal unless we know otherwise. Okay, so that kind of got rid of Kli Sheni fairly quickly. Anything which is not explicitly mentioned in the Gemara, in Chazal, as being something which is not subject to Bishul in a Kli Sheni, which basically is water and oil, and one of the cases I'll mention in a second, is going to be subject to, we have to be concerned, is Kali Habishal. What about spices, right? Spices are listed. That was the Mishnah that we had yesterday, that you're not allowed to add spices into the Kli Rishon, but you're allowed to put spices into the Kli Sheni, right? We said you can't put it into the Kedera, but you can put it into the Ka'ara. So l'chora, spices should be an exception to this. So Shmir Shabbos quotes from Reb Shlomo Zalman that our spices are not the same spices that Chazal were referring to. The spices that Chazal were referring to were like big chunks of spice, not the finely ground flaky stuff that we put into things. And therefore, when it comes to the finely ground flaky stuff, we certainly do have to assume that it is kalei habishal. Let's say at this point not. It might be because we'll see that maybe in terms of if something's been cooked already, that might be different. But let's just assume that spices in general at this point are considered to be kalei habishul, and therefore you're not going to be allowed to put them even into a klisheni. Add that together with a statement of the Ri in Tosfos in Shabbos. I think the Tosfos is on Kufay, I believe, but I didn't bring it here. I didn't write it down clearly in my notes. But basically what Toso says is that Eina Chanami, the Ri says, Eina Chanami, you can't. Eina Chanami, there's no bishul in a kli sheni. But that's only talking about Minatorah. Midrabanan, we have to be concerned in a kli sheni for bishul. Why? Because of Mechzei Kimavashel. It looks like you're cooking. If you have, again, you'd probably know this from your own experiences. If you have a pot with water in it, so how do you know if that pot of water was the pot of water which was originally on the fire and was taken off the fire, or if you then poured that water into another pot? It looked the same, as we pointed out from Tosfos, and what's obviously is the Metzius, is that the heat basically is the same also. So there's no difference in appearance. So it looks like cooking. And therefore, ein bishul achar bishul, you cannot dip something, says the Ri, anything which is uncooked, you cannot put into a kli sheni because it is mechzei kimevasho. So this, obviously, especially if you put these two things together, you basically have gotten rid of kli sheni, and the Mishneh Berurah seems to assume like both of these. The Mishneh Berurah writes in Mem Beis, we don't know what a kli shlishi is yet.
I'm saying, but even no matter what you think it might be, it can't be better than a kli sheni in terms of Matthew Mavajal. It doesn't look like any different than a kli.
Right. Right. But the question is, where Chazal goes there on that, though? Meaning, how far were Chazal, again, assuming that there's a concept of a kli shlishi?
They're only...
Right, I could be wrong. I don't think kli shlishi is mentioned anywhere in the Gemara.
No, it's not. That's the point. I'm saying, like, but it's in terms of mess. If mess of a vassal is its own clear, it has nothing to do with the fact that a kli sheni cooks a little bit. It just looks like kli rishon. So kli shlishi would look exactly like
the kli sheni. Okay, yeah. So you know chnami. So again, if you want to follow that logic through, then maybe there may be. Again, we'll have to see that a lot of these things seem to be chumras. Again, we all of these things that we're adopting.
We do try to be machmer for the Ri.
But then the question is going to be: is again, if it's not to make light of the Ri, but if it's only the opinion of the Ri, so again, the fact that most of the Poskim disagree and the Ri didn't say it by anything but cliche, so how far do we have to extend that? Again, we're jumping a little bit ahead, but in logically correct. I hear what you're saying. So the Mishneh Berurah writes on that Ramah that we've already seen a few times, where he says Nagul Lizar Lechatchila Sheloli Tain Pas Afilu Bikli Sheni Kozman Sheyatzoletis. But you can't put bread into a klisheni as long as it's yad slaid espos. So why not? Klisheni is not mevasha. What's the problem with putting bread into the klisheni? So it says the Mishnah Berura that here the Rama is hosif b'zed dinachem. At time the sphere le dezeyadu, the yesh dvar shem is bashlim afilu b'klisheni b'pnei shem rakim. There are certain things that can cook in a klisheni because they're soft. They're susceptible to cooking, what we would call kali abishol. Ve'einanu b'kiyim, and we don't know what they are. Ve'alkein hosif leser litein pas ha'ofoy du'rakech afilu b'klisheni. Says, therefore, bread, which certainly seems to be soft and affected significantly by the bishul, right? You put the challah in the soup and it becomes a different chifta almost instantaneously. So you have to be concerned. That's what the Rama is saying. Again, the Rama doesn't sound like he's saying it maker hadin, but naguli zayar lechatchila, that lechatchila we are careful to treat these things as kali bishul. Vehu adin, says the Mishnah Berurah, Dilodei Azu, that according to this opinion, Yesh lahach mirnami b'shar devarim shelo litnom b'kli sheini. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah, again, not on his own, but based on this, based on the Sireyim, Paskan by the Magen Avram as well, basically wipes aside the heter, or the ability of kli sheini not to be mevasha, by telling us that a kli sheini, we have to be concerned that klisheni can be mevasha kali abishal. We don't know what is included in kali abishal, and therefore, anything that we don't know otherwise as being okay is automatically excluded, and we have to be concerned that it is kali abishal. The Chazon Ish disagrees, and the Chazon Ish says that he doesn't think that is correct, and only when Chazal told us when things are kali habishul, then we have to be concerned that they are kali habishul. But we don't have to be machmir across the board on everything that it is kali habishul. He's arguing with. He's saying that we don't pass in, yeah, basically. Again, he's this lechatchila of the Rama, which is based on the Yerayim, the Chazon Ish does not think we have to be machmir for that. Again, I don't know that he's saying that he's necessarily wrong, but he's saying that this assumption that we have to assume that everything is kali abishal, he does not think that we have to be concerned with that, that we have to be concerned with that lehalacha. I take that back. The Chazon Ish there does say among the things that thinks we do have to be concerned about is bread. So he's not disagreeing with the Rama. He's disagreeing with the Mishnah Berurah's extension of the Rama, just to make sure it's clear. He's agreeing with the din of the Rama that we have to be concerned that bread is kali abishal because it ain't a roos. The bread is turning soft. The bishul is having an effect on a big effect on the bread. He does not think, though, that you can extend the Rama the way the Mishnah Berurah said it. The Mishnah Berurah said it as a two-step process. He said that the Rama is saying it because they're afraid of kali abishal, and then the Mishnah Berurah said, "V'hu adin l'dayazu yeshlach mirnami b'shar dvar v'shalodim klisheni." No, that far I don't think you have to go. I don't think you have to be concerned that anything that you don't know otherwise is automatically considered to be kalei habishal. He's saying a bit on paskan theory, correct?
The Mishnah Berurah is saying
they're right. The Beis Yosef brings down the Urayim, and the Rama is saying this din based on the Urayim, correct? Again, maybe I don't have it in front of me. If you look at the Urayim inside, the Urayim gives the example of bread. I'm not sure how explicit he is. This or how much is he explaining the Mishnah Berurah? Actually, maybe before next time, I'll try to look at the lashon inside, make sure exactly I've pinned down who says what. So again, so that's one issue is the kali habishul, and then the second issue is this mechzik in mevasha that Tosfos is saying that as soon as we have anything which is being put into a klisheni, we have to be concerned that it's going to give the appearance of cooking, and therefore we have to be worried that and can't put things into a klisheni. And that's also brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. That's in Lamed Dalet in the Mishnah Berurah, that Ein Shoven Oso Becham and B'Shabbos by Davar Yavesh Shayad Soled Es Bohen. Va'afilu Lo Yenichu Shamat Sheini Moach, even if it's not going to break down. Va'afilu B'Klisheini Nami Oso Lishos. You can't even put it into a Klisheini. D'mechzei Kimevashel. Because it gives the appearance of cooking. Okay, below dummy the tavlin, it's not like tavlin, the law said with region, the tavlin has soon lemate kakadeir below mexikim evasho. So that's an important line in the Mishnah Berurah that we have to try and figure out. Is what is the difference? The maisa, how can you say that it's mexikim evasho if you put something into a klisheni? The Mishnah told us explicitly that you're allowed to add tavlin. So what's the answer? The answer is that tavlin doesn't look like you're cooking the spices when you put tavlin in. Everybody knows why you're putting in tavlin. You're putting the tavlin in because that's what you do when the food is ready to be served or whatever stage it is. You add spices, not for the purpose of cooking the spices, but lematik to make the food taste better. If we take these two chumras and put them together, we have to then try to figure out, how can you make tea on Shabbos? This is the major question that, again, didn't concern the Gemara or the Rishonim. I think they didn't have tea. But certainly the earlier Achronim and beyond, it's a major issue to figure out how to make tea on Shabbos. In fact, it's one of the, I think, the longest Mishnah Berurahs in the entire Siman, is going through the options of figuring out how to make tea on Shabbos. What's the problem with making tea on Shabbos? So let's take all the possible scenarios and try to figure out what makes the most sense. If you take tea leaves, right, that's what you make the tea out of. Again, whether it's in a bag or not doesn't seem to make a difference. The bag just holds the leaves from mixing into the tea. Maybe gets into some borer shilas, but that's beyond us. We're focusing on one malach at a time. Yeah.
And our tea today is like the same tea you're talking about.
Let's assume for now the tea is not basically speaking is it's dried. It's not really cooked first. So yes. So let's assume that all the tea is the same. So what are the options? If you take the tea and you put the tea leaves into a kli rishon, so then, right, bishul d'oraisa, right? Nothing to talk about. So that's certainly not an option, right? The only way that we could have avoided bishul d'oraisa, putting it into a kli rishon, would be if it was cooked beforehand. Then in theory we could talk about in bishul achar bishul. That's not the case here. So what's the next option? You put the tea leaves in your cup, and then you pump from your urn onto the leaves. So, does that work?
It's Iroi.
That's Iroi. Iroi is Mevashel. Kadei Klipa. Okay, there's some Bishul involved on the tea leaves. So, Iroi of the Kli Rishon onto the tea leaves is also going to be a problem. Possibly even a problem Minatora, depending how you understand the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so what's the next option? Is taking the water from the urn and putting it into a cup and then adding the tea leaves to the cup. So now the cup which the water came out of the urn from is a klisheni. So we know klisheni ena mevasho. So l'chora, it should be a good solution. What's the problem?
Kalei
habishul. Kalei habishul. So again, isn't it only tavlin? Right? You're just adding the flavor. You're not trying to cook the leaves. You're adding the flavor into it. That's the Shir Shabbos. that even though the Gemara, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to add tavlin into a kli sheni, that's not this dried out light flaky stuff. That's, you know, you put a hunk of ginger or a hunk of cinnamon or something like that. That's the tavlin that the Gemara was talking about. Our tavlin, kalei abishal. So you have no way at this point to make tea on Shabbos. What?
Chazanish.
Which chazanish? So first you'd have to figure out, is this considered to be Kali Abishal or not? Meaning, would the Chazanish agree that if you take these light leaves and suddenly the water is... Again, the Chazanish just says you don't have to assume Bistam that it's Kali Abishal.
So why would we think it's Kali Abishal?
Again, because the same way he said by bread that appears to be Kali Abishal because it has such a big effect. You take some leaves and put them into a cup of water, and now suddenly the taste has been infused.
It has a big effect on
into
the leaves.
I'm sorry.
It has a big effect on the leaves. You take the
well, how's the taste get out? Exactly.
If you take the leaves out, like you would notice that they're more than just more wet. Like they look cooked.
No, but the leaves don't have to look cooked. The water looks like something affected the.
But that's not any better than tavlin. I mean, isn't the reason that tavlin is different now than it was then is because the tavlin themselves are different. So since they're like smaller and they dissolve and they whatever get
not dissolve since they're basically soft and flaky. The tea leaves are basically soft. You open up a tea bag.
Yeah, no.
It's like having it's almost like having like having oregano. You know what oregano looks like, right? It's like having oregano inside a bag.
Right.
It's light flaky stuff. So maybe he would say that. I don't think he does. But again, the rule of the Chazanish is just that you don't have to assume that everything which is going to go into a cliche is automatically Kali Abishal. Don't exclude it until you consider it. But it doesn't mean that only the things. It's not, necessarily saying that only the things listed in the Mishnah are the only examples of Kali Abishal. And the Haraya is the fact that he does aser he might lemaisa say it's okay, but we'll have to get to that. But again, it seems that the bread would be a problem. So again, at this point, we don't have a good solution. Now there is I think Rav Shechter brings this down in the Nefesh HaRav and quoted in many sources as well. That Reb Chaim Brisker allowed making tea in a kli sheni. There are versions that claim that A, he did it himself, and B, that the Rav did it as well. They did it in the kli sheni. Why? Because it's a Mishnah. Tavlin is mutter. Meaning, he didn't accept that Reb Shlomo Zalman's assumption that our tavlin are different. Tavlin are tavlin. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to add tavlin to the to a kli sheni. This is a kli sheni. I can add my tavlin. So there are people, and again, it's hard to say that it's an incorrect. Apparently, there are different versions of the story about the Talmidim saying to the Rav, you know, how can you do this against the? It's against the Mishnah Berurah, and it's against Either he said that my grandfather knew how to learn also, or my grandfather was also Shomer Shabbos. So he apparently was willing to do this. Again, people that are relying on that, it's hard to tell them no. If somebody doesn't have a specific Kabbalah like that, then I think the minhag that's more nafutz in Klal Yisrael is like the Mishnah Berurah. Again, we didn't solve it yet according to the Mishnah Berurah, but at least to be concerned with the Mishnah Berurah's problem. Yeah.
Didn't the Rav also not pull the kli shishi?
Yes. Yes, we'll get to that. Which is a certain irony.
Right.
We'll have to because they're not really connected. The two points aren't connected. We often connect them because classic kli shlishi, which we don't know what it is yet, but classic kli shlishi is for making tea. But yeah, let's we'll put it aside for the moment. Yeah.
On what basis did Shlomo Zalman say that our tablet are different? Is there any kind of
on what basis? I think he looked at it and he says, "Look, they look like Kali Abishal." I think it was that.
Does
he quote here the exact? I'm sorry.
And how did he know necessarily what the Gemara was speaking about? Or is it different?
again, I think it is safe to assume, again, that they weren't grinding things the same in general the same way, you know, commercially the way we are. I don't think that assumption is off. Does he have the language of Rishon LeZion here? It's in Shmir Shabbos. I can read what it, the way the Orphan Shabbos writes it. It does not seem like he's quoting it verbatim, but it's in Shmir Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Arakuf Nun Beis. It says that this that the Mishnah was talking about Shabbos Mem Beis, it's Tavlin, Eino Mizbashu, Glishen Adaka, Kishenu Shachak. It wasn't ground up. They stuck whatever it was into the soup or into whatever it is. They threw in a hunk of ginger, but they didn't sit there. For us to grind things up isn't hard. For them to ground it up, you needed a mortar and a pestle, and I don't even know which one that is. Whatever. You took the thing and you had to really grind it up. For us to grind things up, it's not a big deal. You stick it in a machine.
So was Reb Chaim really saying that, not denying that they may have been different, but Tavlin is Tavlin no matter what?
I think so. Yeah. I think he was saying that Tavlin were excluded. The Mishnah didn't say only big pieces of Tavlin. I think that's where, again, I don't know that the Reb Chaim is written anywhere as Reb Chaim said it. I think it's said over in the name of Reb Chaim.
Could be there's like a lunch part that you're putting Tavlin in not to cook it, you're putting Tavlin in to spice.
Maybe. Again, that's what the Mishnah Berura sounds like when he explains Tavlin. Again, he doesn't explain the difference. Again, he does say not to put the Tavlin, the tea leaves, into the klisheni. So he certainly is concerned with the Kali Abishal, but he did have that language of Lamatek. Yeah, it definitely is a different purpose. So that could be that's part of where they're coming from. Right, in general, Rishon LeZion was very, very practical. So I think he said, look, you know, what bigger raya is there than it seems like these little things. How can these little things, if you have anything which is kalei habishul, which cooks easily, spices are probably the first thing we would have thought of had the Mishnah not told us otherwise.
Where is this in Shmir Shabbos?
Perek Aleph Ha'arakuf Nun Beis.
Older than
the
new one.
I assume the old one. I've never used a new one, and maybe he has. But I don't think the new one was that one. This book was published. I assume he's talking about the old one. He does say again. I don't know what the Metzias is, but he says he quotes from Shlomo Zalman based on that. I'm not sure why anybody would do it, but he says you shouldn't put hummus into soup in the klisheni. I'm not sure why you ever put hummus into soup, but if you're putting, why not? He said they add the spices to the hummus after the hummus itself is cooked. Right? You cook the, it's arbus, right? I think it's chickpeas. Sesame? Chickpeas? A little bit of both?
Both. Hummus and then the
hand. Right. Yeah, I think so. I think we had a sesame allergy issue in the house once. I think. But he says they do add spices afterwards. Those spices aren't cooked, and you'd have to be concerned about Kali Bishul. Okay. Oh, he says here also, again, maybe this is what Reb Chaim says. L'chorah dvarim tzarachiyah, and shreistam tavin shrei gemara is also shachuk. Why would you think it's not? And he brings some rayas that they had, they certainly had ground spices also. So if the gemara wasn't mechalik, why are we assuming that you should be mechalik? So again, just so far, again, we have no solution yet according to the Mishnah Brura how to make tea on Shabbos. Reb Chaim and the briskers have their the one brisker kula that you can make your tea directly, and I think you have to accept all the brisker chumras in order to be entitled to take part of the brisker kula. So you can put it. It's tavlin. It's one of the accepted things that can be put in the kli sheni. Again, most assume like the Mishnah Berura. So what does the What other possibilities are there? So Reb Moshe came up with, what about a kli shlishi? You take the water, again, from the urn, pour it into a cup, and then take that kli sheni and put the kli sheni into another kli. So what's the din of a kli shlishi? So the Gemara doesn't mention it. And most of the Rishonim don't have it either. The question is, why not? Why don't they mention kli shlishi? So Reb Moshe says, it's obvious why they don't mention it, because there's nothing to talk about. the bishop, or any discussion you're going to have of things being mevashel, ends with klisheni. After you pour it into the third cup, it's, again, you can say this far as whether it's the temperature, whether it's so far removed, whatever you want to say, in derech, because all the lumdus you want, however you want to say it. But once you get up to klishlishi, nothing is going to be mevashel. You don't have to worry about kalei abishel. You don't have to worry about mevzik mevashel. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, you can put your tea leaves directly into the kli shlishi. And again, I think many are noheg like Rav Moshe on that.
Does he speak about mevzik mevashel? Why it's not?
I don't recall if he discusses it directly. I think he's going to say you can't be more, again. The whole thing's exer drabanan, so it's not going to go further than what the Gemara says. Well, again, which is
it's not further though. It's the same as the Gemara says.
No, the Gemara the re only said it again, based on the Gemara,
right,
and a cliche.
Like, but like, it's not any more of exer. This because it's the same. It's just something that looks like a clear shem.
So I guess that's what the Chazish said.
If you hold like a Moshe that there is like in Svara a difference, then both of these things would work.
What do you mean, in Svara?
In Svara, everybody agrees there's a difference between cliche and cliche. So therefore, A, the reason Zera doesn't apply to cliche.
Right, he's asking why. Why is there a difference?
The same way there's a difference between cliche and cliche.
There's no, I mean,
you'd have to establish you know, some what that difference is. Yeah, it's not Tefanos Makaros anymore because they both had Tefanos Makaros.
Why not it's a double... two definos plus the pouring. I mean, like, you can reason why it would be
right. No, you can come up with something. I'll check. I forgot that page with some of the marmakomos in it. Well, we can try to check that inside. But he's not concerned. The Chazon Ish takes the fact that everybody sounds about kli shlishi in the opposite direction. Says, why is there no mention of kli shlishi? Because after kli sheni, everything's the same. Kli sheni, kli shlishi, revi, 20, whatever you want. It's the same thing. It has the same Defanos Makaros until once you get below Yad Soletis, Bo, so then fine. But basically, the Vord in Klisheni, and again, it doesn't necessarily say that this Lums, but if you stick it into the Lums we were saying, if the Vord is that it's not the Derech Abishal anymore because it's Defanos Makaros, so it's equally not the Derech, like you were saying, it's equally not the Derech every cup you're going to pour afterwards. So it doesn't mention it because it doesn't exist. And the only reason that it says Klisheni in the Gemara is La Fuke from Kli Rishon, but it could have just as easily given the example of a Kli Shlishi or something else. And the Rav, again, as you mentioned before, seemed to, again, the way he's brought down, also assume, like the Svar of the Chazon Ish, that there's no such thing as Kli Shlishi. So again, the irony within that is that although the Rav doesn't accept the Kli Shlishi, the Rav who doesn't accept Kli Shlishi will make tea in the Kli Sheni. Rav Moshe, who holds of the Kli Shlishi, would not allow you to make the tea in the Kli Sheni, but would allow you in the Kli Shlishi. Yeah, it's for different reasons, so that's why it's not problematic, but there is a certain irony to that. You can have to say, you know, a person who's machbir on the Kli Shlishi Shaila, who's in theory, you know, willing to make the tea in the Kli earlier in the Kli Sheni. Yeah.
Does it matter in the Kli Shlishi what order you put the?
In terms of Eroy or not? So it doesn't seem to make a difference. There may actually be a benefit to putting it in to doing Eroy from the Kli Sheni in terms of a Tzoveya question.
Yes, I was not going to ask the question because we're at the
right. So we are, which is why I was like a little. That was only parenthetical. Yeah. we're not, but again, there is a question about coloring the...
Well, yes. People are questions for that? So you're about to teabag in first. No?
Again, the Mishnah Berurah talks about it here, in not in terms of the teabags, because it's not allowing you to use the teabags. But I don't know. I don't know if people are more willing to...
One way better in terms of
Sobeya. It's because we have we view if you have, let's say, your you know, we'll just use coffee just for the color example. If you have, or you just use grape juice on the table. If you want to have red wine at the Seder, so we assume that there is Sobeya ba'ochlin. So adding a little bit of uh, a little bit of grape juice or red wine to your white wine for the purpose of coloring it is a problem. If you put in the red wine first, then we don't view that as coloring the white wine. We view it as diluting the color of what's already there. Practically, it will come out looking the same. But in terms of what you're doing, we view it as a dilution of what's there versus coloring the lighter thing that was there first.
Also, since we're not, since we don't really care about eerily cliché-y, so then you would put the tea bag in the cliché issue first, and then.
So there may be a benefit to that in terms of that, right?
If you care about eerily cliché-y, then you would have to put in.
Right. So it's not discussed so much because nobody seems to like to talk about Kli Shlishi, but there is a Mishnah Berurah. Where is it? It's Mem Zayin, right? Later on, where the Mishnah Berurah is concerned about Eroi from a Kli
Shlishi. Oh, no, I'm talking where he says Kli Shlishi's mother.
Right, that's a good question. They'll have to get to
only,
at the end. Is why
only by he's what? Only
why the Mishnah Berurah is inconsistent with his use of Kli Shlishi? One second. He doesn't say it here. I thought he did. I feel be Kli Shlishi. Kli Shlishi mitzad brigod. There's a got in the hakel. So he does quote by the bread that by a Kli Shlishi you can be mako. Yes, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah, in Lamed Tes, is that in passing in this one, he is concerned in the big one about the tea. He is concerned about Eroi from a Kli Shlishi, the Mishnah Berurah by the Kaliyah Bishul.
Maybe for the Tesher, I don't know.
Yes,
but is there any sort of just pour onto the side of the cup?
Well, if it's low nifsa kakiluach, then it's still gonna connect. We use it as a tzad when it comes. We'll talk about it with the adding hot water to the chalent, but it's not going to. I don't think we're going to rely on the chatzil here. So again, the Mishnah Berurah does assume in Lamed Tes. He does assume that Kli Shlishi that there is a problem of kali habishul even by Eroi Kli Shlishi. So I don't know. I think the minhag is more to be mikul on the tzoveya shaiva.
We don't make tea, so I don't know
what it is. Okay, so that's yeah. That's one way around it. Again, it could in theory apply to coffee also.
Right.
You drink coffee at least.
Drink.
That I see. Maybe you don't make the coffee, but yeah, you definitely you have the coffee. So again, let's just make sure it's here. Again, according to the rav, you can make the tea. Even in the Kli Shlishi, because it's Tavlin, and Tavlin is not Kali Habishal. Everybody else, again, Mishnah Berurah and others, and even the Chazanish seem like they are concerned with Tavlin being Kali Habishal, and therefore won't allow it in a Kli Shlishi. Rav Moshe says there is a Kli Shlishi, and you can put in the Kli Shlishi and you get tea that way. And again, many are knowing that way. And according to the Mishnah Berurah, so how do you have a way of making tea? So the only way to do it is by involving the issues of Bishul Achar Bishul. So how so? If you make the tea before Shabbos with hot water, what we call the tea essence, it's basically you pour hot water over the tea bags, or heat them up, and now you have the essence of the tea, then you can reheat it in a Kli Shlishi. Didn't we say Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul when it's Nitzdan in Lagamre by a Kli Shlishi? By Davralach, correct? By a Kli Shlishi, we're not going to extend that Chumrah. So that will be one of the main situations in which we're left with the kula of Kli Shlishi is that we can reheat things even a dover lach, which was already nisbashel, we can reheat that in a kli sheni. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, the way to make tea is to have this concentrated tea, this essence of the tea, before Shabbos.
Which is just like a lot of tea bags.
Yeah, and a little, and put a little bit of I remember my mother used to do it.
That's definitely, you do it in the cup, you do it in the mug, you do it in the rice, you know that.
Right, you want to make sure that it's not from a kli sheni, because then the first bishul is not a real bishul. Right, if you take water from the urn into a mug and then pour it over the tea bags, so then maybe your first bishul wasn't a bishul. I guess that's a... What do you mean?
If you hold that it was that you're mevashel, so then the second time isn't a bishul. Then the first, right, if you hold that it's mevashel, that situation, so then the first time was mevashel, the second one isn't. If you hold that it's not mevashel, even the second time you pour it in, it's fine.
It's not mevashel, it's klipa.
No, it's not going to be, it's not mevashel at all. It wouldn't be mevashel at all if it's a kli sheni.
No, I thought you were pouring it.
No, I'm saying if you did it originally in a kli sheni, if you pour it from the kli sheni, if you put it into a mug,
yeah,
and then from the mug you pour it into the...
If it's kali avishel, so then it was mevashel already in the kli sheni, and therefore... It's done. If it's not kali bishul, then regardless, you can make it fresh. There'd be no problem.
I hear you. Okay, I have to look back. I thought the Mishnah Berurah was careful about that, but I hear what you're saying. Okay, so again, that's the best way to make tea according to the. According to the Mishnah Berurah. If you're concerned about the Tzoveya question, then that's where a Kli Shlishi would help according to the Mishnah Berurah. Right? Because the Eroi from Kli Sheni is not going to be any worse than putting it into the Kli Sheni itself.
But I understand the question. You're not putting the tea bags into the thing.
In which
water.
Case?
If you make sense. Right? So you don't care about the tea bags being kali avishel. You're not cooking those again.
Right, you're pouring.
Like,
you're just pouring the liquid.
It shouldn't make a difference whether or not. I mean, he has the mother shop is whether tea is kali avishel or not. You're not cooking the tea again. You're cooking the water.
Oh, I hear you saying. Okay, so maybe it's not. Maybe I don't know. I thought I saw that as a hara somewhere. Did he have that here? I thought I saw that somewhere as something to be concerned about, but maybe.
In the water that you're cooking.
I hear what you're saying. I got it. I hear you guys.
Maybe like the flavor that gets put in the water, like cooking that again. That was only cooking the sheni. I don't know.
No, presumably not. Okay, maybe I got confused with something else. Let's assume that that's not a problem. Again, in terms of the Tzoveya question, so then in theory a Kli Shlishi would help even according to the Mishnah Berurah, because that way you could put the tea scents in the cup first. And then pour from the Kli Sheni. Eroi Kli Sheni is definitely not going to be more chamer than Kli Sheni itself. Right? That nobody would say. Yes.
And by a Kli Sheni, you say that even if it's not in the Gamri, there's no issue of Bishul if you pour it.
If we're not concerned about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul if it's not signed in the Gamri, if you're heating it up in a Kli Sheni, correct.
Right, okay.
Correct. That's where Kli Sheni still helps. Now, there is an added chumra of the Chazan Ish, which I don't think most people are knowing, but it's important to at least point out. Chazon Ish assumes that in the urn is always one kli behind. I know this. The Chazon Ish wonders if you take, again, the Metzius is hard to picture in your head, but then once you think of an urn, it's okay. If you take water out of a kli rishon while it's still on the fire. Somehow you tilt it while it's still leaning on the fire into something else. Chazon Ish wonders what the status of that is. Is it only become a klisheni after it's taken off of the fire and then poured into something else? Or even if it's on the fire and from the fire poured into something else, does that also make it into a klisheni? Chazon Ish is concerned that it's considered to still be a kli rishon if you, again, it's based on that sugi of the embati, when you have a hemshich of water that's on a kli rishon, that maybe that maintains the status of a kli rishon. So again, normally it doesn't come up where you're tilting pots. That's exactly what an urn is, right? While the fire or the electricity, the heating element is on. You're pumping the water out. So that water was an extension, was basically the same as if you tilted it, just you don't have to tilt it because you have the pumping thing on top. That water in the cup the Chazon Ish holds is a Kli Rishon.
There's no Svar in the Fanos Makaros.
So that's that. It's based on understanding that that embati sugya, which the Shulchan Aruch talk about in Yud Aleph Beis in the Gemara there. But again, that for whatever reason is, whether it's because the heat is too high or whatever exactly the Gemara is talking about, the Gemara does seem to tell us that you can have something which is sort of funneled off of the water of a Kli Rishon. And it maintains the status of the Kli Rishon. Yeah, in a certain sense, it does have the Tefanos Makaros. But again, this Gemara is going to be saying, according to him, that that's not the only factor, whether it has to do with the Derech or some other lumdas. Again, that's Tosos's explanation. In theory, you could have another explanation. I don't have another good one, but that's what the Chazon Ish says. So if the Chazon, again, according to that, when you pump the water out of the urn, the water in the cup is still a Kli Rishon. So again, it's just important to keep in mind, because then in theory, you're always one cup behind.
Unless you're using a ladle. Unless,
you know, I'm saying from an urn.
From an urn, right.
From an urn.
I'm saying the Chazon Ish holds that even if you tilted a pot.
The Chazon Ish is correct. The Chazon Ish would say the same thing if you spooned your soup out of the pot. While it's on the fire. We don't do that, as we talked about last time, because of Hagasa. Right? We don't spoon out when things are on the fire, so practically it's not a concern. But theoretically, it would be true. And the Chazon Ish has cases where he thinks practically it's true, where he thinks that it's better if it's Mevusha called Tzarko, and you're going to have to rely on Kulas to take it off and put it back on. He thinks it's better to spoon out from on the fire.
Even if you're spooning it out and you're not pouring it directly?
Yes.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah, he assumes that it would be. Again, because that depends on the status of the ladle, which we meant. Did we do the ladle yesterday? No. Oh gosh. Okay. So we have to get to the ladle also. So again, so that's what's important to the Chazon Ish. So in theory, if you wanted to be, I don't know, I guess. If you want to be machmer the chol adeyas, you have to like. I mean the only way to get kol hadeyas is going to be to pour the tea scents into a kli shlishi, right?
Well, clear B, because it's a bad.
No, you're
right. Again, so I don't know. They have to put all these things together. You know, the Chazon Ish didn't believe in the kli shlishi. Again, at what point are you just? I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
I've heard Shikas say multiple times, like. Take everyone's skumra, it's like you're a mishugana.
Right, right. No, that is true. I don't. Right. I don't know exactly if that would apply in this case, but in a chanam, right. At a certain point, it becomes a joke. So you have to figure out. But again, it is worthwhile to keep it in mind. Okay. So that is T. So let's get to the ladle. I thought we did the ladle. Okay. The ladle is basically a machlokas between the Taz and the Maharil in terms of what is the status of the ladle. So what's the question? Is again, if you have the ladle, it's a unique case in which you're taking the cliche. And again, the ladle has Tefanos Makaros, so you would think that the ladle should serve as a perfectly valid cliche, and therefore your soup in your bowl is going to be a cliche. The issue, though, is that you're putting the cliche into the Kli Rishon in order to get it out. Normally, you're pouring from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni. When it comes to the ladle, you're taking the ladle and putting it inside of the Kli Rishon in order to draw it out. So, what is the status of the ladle? Do we treat it as a Kli Sheni or do we still treat it as a Kli Rishon? So the Taz. Again, it has nafkaminas and yoruday also, so it's a little bit of a back and forth between Yerodei and Hechel Shabbos. The Taz is Machir and treats the ladle as a Kli Rishon. And again, that's significant because that means when you're pouring out of the ladle into your bowl, that's Iri Kli Rishon. Iri Kli Rishon is Mevashok de Klipa. So if you have stuff in your bowl already, if you have raw vegetables or something, or I guess bread, if you have something inside your bowl, and you...
Croutons.
Well, croutons might be okay, because it might be in Bishlach.
Depending on which type of croutons.
Right, the disgusting yellow ones that are deep fried are probably okay, because that's okay. Bishl. So that would be in Bishlach or Bishl by Dover Lach. But... it is what it
don't
seem
to
you.
I want to hear about your food preferences. You like a certain kind of shallot, a certain kind of croutons.
We have the croutons. My kids eat the croutons. I don't touch them.
One serving just like 50% of its daily value of sodium.
Yeah, I don't eat those. I'm in no way am I like a health fanatic, but I don't waste. I'll eat a good piece of fried schnitzel or something like that before I'll eat those croutons. So if you again, it's, the Taz is machmir, and therefore you would have to be careful. The Mishnah Brura and the Maharil is the Mekel on this, and says you can be already treated as a klisheni. The Mishnah Brura in Pei Zayin klisheni mikre kisheiru min kli rishon shirticho cham besochel soch klize. Okay, that's classic. That's classic klisheni. Umutar if you don't get it, but I'm showing the kli reik on the toch kli rishon. You put a not necessarily a ladle; it could be a mug, whatever you're putting inside the kli rishon in order to draw it out. Yeshomrim de dino ki kli rishon. There are those that say that it has the halacha of a kli rishon. Who are the those who say? So those who say. Is this opinion of the Taz? Ube Prat says the Mishnah Berurah, Masha Kli Reka Mesochat Shemala Resicha Vada Mirka Kli Rishon. So the Mishnah Berurah says that okay, the Taz says this. It sounds like maybe it's worth being machmer for it, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying that if you actually leave the ladle sitting inside, which maybe you're doing because you want to avoid the question. About if the drops on the ladle are left, and you don't want to if it's nitzan in the gamrei. So we had again that was that Reb Moshe we saw. So Reb Moshe was mekel, but others were machmir. So you want to avoid that shaila putting back your wet ladle once it's nitzan in the gamrei. So again, if you're filling it up consistently, filling up bowls and putting the ladle back in, so whatever liquid's left is not going to be nitzan in the gamrei. So that would be a reason to be putting it to leave it in there. But it comes with the chumra if you leave it in. Then it certainly should be considered to be a kli rishon, and then what you're putting in your soup is a kli sheni. Right. So what about dipping bread into your soup? So again, that's where the Mishnah Berurah had mentioned. Yeah.
Quick question. Just going back.
No problem.
Let's say you're coming back for seconds, and your bowl and the soup that's left on the bottom of your bowl has become cold. So is that and the labels left in the pot? Is that a problem now? Because you're going to be.
What's left in your bowl?
Yeah.
So the Mishnah Berurah says not. That's Mishnah Berurah in Pei Dalet. Again, what seems to be overriding most of these Mishnah Berurahs. Is that again? When you're putting too many chumras, at a certain point, when you're putting too many chumras together, then you can be mekel. The mashal, the Mishnah Brura does not mention kli shlishi as a valid option when it comes to tea, and yet he says that you can dip your challah into your soup bowl if it's in a kli shlishi. So what's the difference? What's the difference between the cases? There aren't great answers to it. Rabbi Willig wants to say that it's based on this overall vort of derech. That the reason that we're mekel in a the reason that we're mekel on kli sheni in general is because it's not the derech. What's the derech when it comes to when it comes to tea. Says the derech of tea is to be in a klisheni. How so? You ever been to any fancy place to have tea? You don't get the tea from the urn. You take the water from the urn and you put it into a beautiful, you know, silver teapot. And then from the teapot, they pour it into your cup. So what's the derech of tea is in a klisheni. And the first time that it's so basically the klishlishi is the equivalent of the klisheni when it comes to tea. So he says maybe in lamdas, at least that's why the Mishnah Brura thinks that that the klishlishi would not help when it comes to tea, even though the Mishnah Brura is not totally afraid of klishlishi. So in other cases, when it comes to the bread, you know, why were we machmer on dipping the bread into the klisheni? Because of the yireyim. So it says, so that far, you don't have to go in a klishlishi. Similarly, that far, you don't have to go in terms of being worried about the chumra of the taz on the ladle, to assume that the bowl was not a klishlishi, to be concerned that you can't put your bread in, which is only a problem in a klisheni, according to the yireyim. So that seems to be the mahalach that the Mishnah Brura is going with, that he does recognize, it's not like the Chazon Ish, he does not say that there's no such thing as a klishlishi, because he clearly quotes klishlishi at times. But he seems to be saying consistently that it's only when there are going to be, you know, multiple chumras that are being invoked, that we don't have to go that far in a klishlishi. So again, if it comes to pouring from the ladle onto the little bit of soup that's left, so the Mishnah Brura is makil on that. And similarly, in terms of dipping the bread into the soup, lemaisa Mishnah Brura is makil on that also, because again, almost all the time, again, unless you're dealing with what we mentioned in passing yesterday with the caterers trying to heat up the bowls, which creates an interesting shaila if maybe you can have a kli rishon, which the food wasn't actually cooked in originally, where the Rav was concerned about that. But again, barring such a situation, you can normally assume that your soup bowl is a klishlishi, and therefore you can dip your bread inside of that. Okay, so let's just make sure that most of what we said today is clear. So again, as much as we said that klisheni is eno mevasha, so we had numerous exceptions to the rule. We had Davar Gush and potentially Yad Nechves Bo that we mentioned yesterday. But besides that, the two more all-encompassing exemptions that basically knock the kula of klisheni out of the water is that the repot, we are concerned with the shita of the re, that there is a mechzeh kemevasha, that anything which has not been cooked already, you cannot put into a klisheni because it has the appearance of cooking. And that would eliminate being able to heat up, to cook, to put inside a klisheni anything that is raw. Add to that the fact that that we are concerned with the shita of the yireyim, that anything that we don't know is kali habishal, is included in kali habishal, then again we're very, very limited in terms of what we can put in. So again, we thought there were those who agreed. The Chazon Ish said, use the metzius, look at it, and see for yourself if it's kali habishal or not. But we don't have to automatically assume that it is kali habishal, whether it's klishlishi or not. So that we saw is also a machloka. So Rav Moshe again is the biggest maker when it comes to klishlishi. He's the, you know, he was the rav of this island. So those who want to be maker like Rav Moshe, it's hard to say that they're doing anything incorrect. So that's the biggest kula when it comes to klishlishi. Chazon Ish didn't think klishlishi existed at all. The Rav thought you can make the tea in klisheni because it's tavlin, and tavlin was an exception. Rav Zalman said that no, that tavlin was talking about big pieces of tavlin. It was not talking about our ground up spices. You have to be concerned with the ground up spices, which tea leaves would be an example of it, that it is kale abishal. So what are we left with in terms of klisheni? It's really only reheating things that have been cooked already. But it includes the kula that even on a davar lach, which is nitzan in legamre, we would allow you to put that into a klisheni, which according to the Mishnah Brura is the solution for making tea on Shabbos. You take the essence of the tea which has been cooked already, add that into it, and you're going to, and that is going to solve that problem. Similarly, again, another place where it would help is we mentioned the chumrah of the Mishnah Brura, that when it comes to things that dissolve immediately, he treats them as a davar lach. So if you have different, whether it's sugar, salt, things like of that nature that have been cooked already but dissolve immediately. So again, if they've been cooked already, so we should say ein bishalach or bishal, and it's yavish, and it should not be there should not be any problem with heating up any of those items. The Mishnah Brura was machmir though that if you have something which dissolves immediately, such as sugar. I don't know, maybe coffee is the same way. I have to figure out exactly what's included. He assumes that those things are considered to be davar lach. If it's davar lach, which is now not hot anymore, so then you have to be concerned about putting that into a kli rishon. What about putting it into a kli sheni? So here also, you can be makel. In the same way that the Mishnah Brura was makel by the davar lach, which is nitzdan legamrei, that the kula of kli sheni remains in terms of the dissolving things, it would also still help. Yeah.
Is there a problem with cooking salt? It's not.
So the Gemara explicitly talks about has a machlokas when it comes to salt. There's a big tumult about our salt, because whether the our salt is cooked. Or our salt is not cooked.
I was thinking just because like it's a mineral, it doesn't grow.
It's no different. It's no worse than metal. We said there's bishul by metal.
Right, but
it comes from the earth also.
Oh, you have to make it softer.
Well, you do. You make it. You turn it almost into liquid. Yeah, you do turn it into liquid. Basically, there are two different types of. The Rosh Shabbos talks about this. Others as well. He talks about it on page Lamed Beis. Again, there's a Gemara and Shabbos and Dachman Beis and Beis that tumults about specifically about salt. The Maskana seems to be is what the Shulchan Aruch in Shinim Ches in Sivtes seems to say that min hadin if you have salt even if it's not cooked. There is no bishul at all, but the Rama says that we try to be machmir, not to put it even into a klisheni. So again, if the salt is cooked,
why would there be no problem if it's not cooked?
Why would there be no problem? That's the sugi of the Gemara. That maybe salt is an exception to some of the rules. Going to look at the Gemara and daf and beis and beis. I think the Mishnah Brura explains some of it. Could we have those extra few minutes, no?
Yeah.
The Gemara again talks about it being like Bisr de Torah. That Tzemach Melech has its own characteristics which make it we'll call it special. So that's the again. But once we have the Rama who says that you shouldn't even put it into a klisheni lechatchila, so that becomes you know what we try to do. But he's talking about salt which is not cooked. If you have salt which is cooked, so then you can put it into into a klisheni. That's the Mishnah Brura in Ayin Aleph. Again, putting together all of these Mishnah Brura's, again, there's so many different chumras that he's being choshesh for, that sometimes it's very hard to figure out which one he's invoking at different times. So he says, right, so salt which is cooked, shouldn't be any problem at all because of ein bishul achar bishul. V'chein b'tzukar, same thing with sugar, as long as the sugar is cooked first. Mutter mehai taimel no b'kli rishon, she'd even be able to put it in the kli rishon, lachar shvim re'esh. V'yesh mefak b'kimzeh. What's the yesh mefak b'kimzeh? Because of the dissolving, right? That's this Mishnah Brura about that he's concerned about the dissolving. V'tov v'zar me'kli rishon l'chal tiyo, therefore you're careful about kli rishon. Why only in a kli rishon? Why isn't he concerned in a klisheni? So again, that's this Mishnah Brura, where he does seem to be consistent about, that you don't have to be concerned about any ein bishlach or bishlach questions when it comes to a klisheni. That the chumra of the ri, that we're worried that a klisheni is mechse kimivashel, and is only going to be when it comes to cooking things the first time. When it comes to reheating things, even if they're lach and it's done, even if it's dissolving shayla, you don't have to be worried about it. So again, when it comes to many of these dehydrated things, so again, as long as they've been mevushal first, it seems like in a klisheni, it's not going to be a problem. One other can, again, since we have an extra 2 minutes, might as well keep you a little longer. Is what about, there's a machlokas in the poskim, what about putting lemon in your tea? So the lemon is raw, so lechor we should say that it's mechsei kemavashel, and assuming that your tea is in a kli sheni, because you made your tea like the Mishnah Berurah, right? Or like the Rav of Chaim. So can you add lemon to your tea?
Why do you need mechsei?
I mean, to assume that it's Kali Abishal.
Yeah.
So that's the question. Are we worried about either of the Chumras? Are we worried that it's Kali Abishal, or are we worried that it's Mechsei Abishal? We have two potential reasons why it should be a problem. So the Chaznish thinks that it is not a problem. Why not? Again, it's a little bit of that lumness that you're talking about. Everybody knows, why do you put lemon into the tea? You put lemon into the tea, limatik. You're not trying to cook the lemon. You're trying to add flavor. And therefore, it's like tavlin. What about Kali Abishal? So that's also the Chaznish, so she taught so. Right? Chaznish, you have to see on some level that there's a bishal taking place. When challah is fully softened by the bishal, by the hot water, so something has happened. When you put the little flaky tavlin, something's happened. A piece of lemon. He's not concerned. But the Magen Avraham, the Aruch HaShabbos points out. But if you assume like the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, that you have to worry about Kali Abishal across the board, then you would say it all here also. Not because of the Mechzei Kimavashal, but you would say because of the Kali Abishal.
Is that assuming Mechzei Kimavashal is a problem that you might... Meaning, if, I would have thought that Mechzei Kimavashal is a problem that Atu Kirishon, which is obviously aser, even for a...
Correct.
So if it's a problem about the Kli Rishon, so then like, who cares if everyone is for flavor? For flavor, the Kli Rishon is aser.
Because again, the mechze is that it looks like you're cooking it. If people know that you added it into...
Which is aser. Meaning if the problem is about the Kli Rishon, you're going to mistake this for a Kli Rishon, so then that's aser even if it's for flavor.
I don't know if the problem is you're going to mistake it for a Kli Rishon, or you're going to assume that you can do it also in a Kli Rishon. The difference is that in a case where somebody assumes that you're not trying to be mevashel it, you're just trying to add the flavor, that you don't necessarily have the same concern.
Why don't we have the same concern? You're going to mistake. You're going to think it's much more Kli Rishon, and it's not.
Because you can never add spices to a Kli Rishon.
Right.
We don't say you can't add spices. Again, that the re agreed to that, right? You cannot. Nobody said you can't add spices to a Kli Sheni because of mechzei kimevashel. The only reason you get... When's the normal time to add spices is in the klisheni. So there's no concern about mechzei kimavashel. The only concern is that maybe it's Kali Abishal and it's going to cook anyway. So the Chazon Ish Lishit Tosso is not concerned about that. And according to Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, we're worried about the Yerayim, they would be concerned about that.
The Re doesn't say that the Mishnah about Tavlin is really awesome. Only Midrash.
No. The Re assumes that Tavlin is fine. There's no mechzei kimavashel. Why not? Because it's lematik. It's not for purposes of bishul. That's the normal time to start. That wasn't clear before. Okay, I hope that was clear. I think we're going to move on to the derabbanans. Talk about Mirtz Hashem, maybe talk about Shehiyah tomorrow. Okay.